Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
David Tucros.
Join us
on a metaphysical,
holistic,
and intuitive journey.
The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the ride. Hello, hello out there.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to the Lion's Lair. No, I'm just joking.
There we go. I was waiting for that.
Now it's like gone three times.
This is going to be a strange show, folks, so buckle up a little bit.
I want to welcome everybody to the show. I am Iggy Garcia.
And I'm David Tucros.
And I'm the lion.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to the late night edition of With Insights. With Insights. With Insights. So we had to push my schedule around a little bit. So it's my fault. But anyhow,
that's okay.
Want to welcome everybody to airtime, playtime. That's what we got here. So we're gonna kick it off. We're going to talk a little bit about who we are, what we do, and probably get a little romper room on us here a little bit, have a little good time.
Yep. It's Insights After Dark.
Insights After Dark, that's right. Well, we had a busy week, didn't we? Weekend.
Oh, yeah, the weekend, yeah, was awesome. We had... Well, I'm going to talk about Sunday because we had our 1,000 drummers gathering at Alum Creek Beach on Sunday. We've been looking forward to that for quite a while. So it was just so cool to see it come off like it did. You know, I wasn't sure how it was going to all turn out because Alum Creek is devoid of trees, so there wasn't a lot of shade around, and we weren't sure what the weather was going to be like. The weather forecast was maybe going to call for some rain in the afternoon, and you know, it's different for us because we usually hold it at Whetstone Park, but this year we couldn't do that. The city asked us not to because they were having four weddings there that day, and with our people there, they thought it might get a little loud, a little out of hand. But so we moved it to Alum Creek Beach, and we got out there kind of early, and we were met by our friend Gary Siege, who always seems to meet us early wherever he said he was there all night. So I'm like, wow, guy, you are dedicated.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah,
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. We love you, Gary. But so we got there, we scoped it out, we kind of set ourselves up the way we wanted to set up, and got our pop up tents and things that we for shade out, and then Pootsie showed up, our friend Chris showed up, and he brought some of his things and his energy to it, and it just kind of started to form, and before you knew it, there were 100 people there, and people just kept coming, and we kicked it off with a little call and respond kind of a beginning to the drum circle for people who hadn't been there, you know, or haven't been to a drum circle before, to kind of break them into it. So we did that and then grew from there. And wow, I'll let you guys tell some of your experiences.
Go ahead, Adriana. I'll let you go.
Oh, it was just amazing. And it was good that, Pootsie did that in the beginning with the calls because there were apparently quite a few people who had never been to a drum circle before, and from what it seems like from the posts that I've seen, they have fallen in love as we all did. So, but yeah, it was awesome. There were the rhythm just kept going and grooving, and what I found that I just loved the most was no matter how the beat switched or when it switched, everyone just picked right up with it. Even the dancers and the hoopers. I mean, everybody just went with that flow, and it was just one giant flow for 5 straight hours or more. So it was awesome.
And
one of our friends was out on a boat, he said, and he could hear us and that we sounded awesome. So that was cool.
Really?
Yeah, you could definitely hear hear the drumming from far away. I had went all the way up to the restroom, and it sounded like the stall doors were vibrating from the drums in there. It was funny.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I had a friend who came, and he said he heard it from the road. So, I mean, it was it was really traveling.
That's
was
crazy.
You know? And I think people may not realize who don't do drum circles that trying to get drummers to come together and follow the same beat and merge with each other, it can kind of be like trying to herd cats sometimes because people want to get off and do their own things, you know. And so we were trying to keep it together, and I think we had a lot of understanding among the drummers that, you know, we had our heartbeat drums, which set the beat, you know, and then you can build on that beat from there. We had drum kits. We had like 5 drum kits set up, you know, that, and you know, those, it's easy to go off on some of those, you know, to go off and do your own thing, but they stayed with us, and it just, it made everything just so magical and so special.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, you just never know what you're going to get into. You know, like you said earlier, we had to change venues like pretty quick, you know, and sometimes that can kind of stifle your momentum, but we just kind of build on, you know, hey, we're going to the beach and we're going to swim and we're going to have a good time and blah, blah, blah. And then, what, a week before, a few days before our event, the paper puts out E. coli breakout in the Alum Creek beach. I'm like, really? I'm like, and everybody's like, oh, don't get in the water. Don't go. I'm like, guys, are you drumming or swimming? Come on. Really? You know? But, you know,
you were out
a few
there.
People, yeah, I got out there just to make sure so everybody can go, oh, he's still alive. You know, I'll be the sacrificial swimmer. And so far, hey, I'm doing pretty good right now. And,
good.
But, you know,
yep.
sometimes we get caught in that scare mode, that scare tactic. And, you know, I was like, and the post I was reading, I was like, don't get in the water. Oh, no, no, no. And then people are like, I'm not going. It's, you know, I'm like, you know, so it's just like, it was like, okay, all right, stop. Stop, you scaremongers. We're
That's
drunk,
right.
Okay. We had a conversation
well,
about this, remember, David?
It did not hinder the crowd, though. I mean, the people just kept coming and coming. And even as I left right around 5, but a lot of people were coming in. You said you had a whole other group of people come in.
Yeah. There must have been 50. More people just come in out of the blue. They must have come from Rootwire, I'm assuming. And there was another drum circle going on after our drum circle ended. There was another one just going started. So I was like, cool.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's kind of grown beyond us almost. You know, we started and then it just got its own life and its own momentum. And that's good. I like to see that, you know. But you step back and you look at it and you go, wow, this thing really has its own legs. It's walking all by itself now.
Well,
I'm proud of you.
Shout out to
proud parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Like you, Adrian, and we're saying, you know, I want to give a good shout out to everyone who was there, all the people who came and supported us, the people who helped organize it. You know, we had our issues with it, you know, like the changing the venues, and we just, there were times when I'm like, you know, I wish this was just done, but I was really, really glad to be there yesterday to experience that, you know, that made it all worthwhile.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
I mean,
you have to expect the unexpected, especially around events. So I think we all did pretty good keeping it, you know, just quick decisions, and everybody agreed on things, and, you know, we took everybody's thoughts into consideration and their opinions, you know, when we were looking for the venue and with some things that, you know, do we do this? Do we don't do this? You know, should we call this or whatever? And big thanks to Chris, you know, Pussy, because he did make quite a few calls you know, for us to check a lot of things out, and he did that really fast. So that was really great of him, and
yep.
I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that.
I want to kiss his bald head when I see him.
As if there's going to be any issues, we just defer to the man who works for the Attorney General's office. That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
I was going to introduce him just like that, too. Well, our lawyer who represents us works for Attorney General.
Yeah.
He's like
pocket lawyer. You know, you keep him in your pocket and then you pull him out when you need him. There you go.
I brought my Tesseract with me,
too. He plays an amazing drum.
Oh, what's that you said, Iggy?
I brought my Tesseract. My Tesseract. I had it in my pocket.
Oh,
pouch.
Nice. Our,
David
our friend David Diamondheart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might be listening right now.
Yeah, I think he's in the chat room, matter of fact. I want to say hi to David.
Well, hi, David.
Got some really
he's
cool
awesome.
Here.
Yeah,
he's doing his own thing in Arizona and in the Southwest,
mm-hmm.
and that's good. I'm really glad to see him kind
of
grow and spread his wings and become, you know, what am I trying to say? Like a celebrity or figure there, you know, somebody who's doing
yeah.
things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Good.
Yeah, very good.
Growth.
That's what you want, right? You
mm-hmm.
want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want.
Kind of like what we do.
Yep, yep. So just while we're still in the drum circle thing, I wanted to say that we're having our next one is going to be at Ash Cave at the end of September. I believe it's September 28th, but it's the last Sunday of September. It's going to be just as awesome, just as good, different setting, but the same
mm-hmm.
kind of energy there. It's always a wonderful thing to go there and experience that. So if anyone's listening who went to Elm Creek, come on down to the Ash Cave gathering.
I think it's the 25th.
Okay.
I think that's the date on it.
Well, I'll trust you on that because I scheduled it, but I the date is out of my mind by now.
Sunday is
the
25th.
Yeah, it's the 25th.
Okay.
Are we starting at 11?
Yeah, I think so. We'll probably be there a little early to kind of set up
mm-hmm.
and get everything situated. But, yeah, 11 o'clock is our usual start-off time, and then it just goes until – it kind of organically
mm-hmm.
just you know, people feel led to leave. We usually close them up with the healing ceremony and the powwow drum,
mm-hmm.
which we did
mm-hmm.
at the Alum Creek Beach, which was really awesome. But, yeah, that's kind of the way we flow it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people yesterday. I love the fact,
oh, yeah.
like you mentioned earlier, we had a lot of novice drummers. I was talking to Adriana. I was like, you know, I can't hear the drummers. And I go, and then I kind of figured out, oh, I understand why now. Because a lot of them are afraid to hit their drum. Like they're afraid to like hit it too hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes sense. They're all kind of just tapping it. You can tell when they're like just tapping it, like with their fingertips. You know, it's cute, you know. It's like, oh, they're so cute. Look at them tapping the little drums. I was so happy.
And then they look
we bang
over
those
and
things hard.
Yeah, and we're like going, bah, bah, and they're like, oh my God, they're going to kill that drum.
Oh, no. It's
and then
a love
my friends
affair.
From Senegal came, you know, those guys just rip right into their drums.
Oh, yeah, you can hear them forever, you know, that's right.
Yeah. And I'm sitting right next to them, my head's going, oh, you know, it's loud, dude. It pierces you.
Yeah, For us, it's like playing with popcorn, you know. It's like they're beating all these different beats, and we're keeping our tribal beat. But they blended in well with us, too. I noticed that, too. You know, it wasn't like anyone was trying to overdo anyone else,
right.
which can happen, you know. So I appreciated
mm-hmm.
that about them. And, you know, that's the thing is we're so intertribal that, you know, we don't get led by one particular style. It's all
right.
Everybody has a chance. Everybody has a voice. And it really is great
mm-hmm.
to experience different expressions of drumming
mm-hmm. and the dancing.
Yeah,
dancing.
Oh yeah,
that was awesome.
Quite a few people out there, and we had jugglers and hoopers and
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things. But girls dancing with the flags, you know, or the fans. So,
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
we had a Hawaiian
your
dancer.
Your
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
You
I
even have
a
little kid
little
break
bit.
Dancing.
I saw
a little
that.
Kid break dancing.
That little boy.
Yeah, he's like, ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
ding, ding. I was like, It's cute.
It's good. It's good. So yeah, and then I took today off because I didn't sleep very well last night. I was from all the sun and everything. I couldn't, and maybe the energy too. I just couldn't get to sleep. So I ended up calling off work and hooking up with you, Iggy, later for breakfast and just talking about this and more stuff. And
you're being ornery.
And it was, yeah. Hey, well, I missed a day's pay, but it's worth it.
We brainstormed some great ideas, though.
Yeah, we always do. It's funny. We always do. Yeah. One thing that I think was kind of a theme today was about how we seem to have lost some of our sense of humor in our metaphysical community, our ability to kind of just take ourselves not quite so serious. It seems you post something on Facebook and you get a million responses from people who like are really, oh no, that's wrong. And you know, you can't do that. Like I posted a little jokey thing, like, you know, hey, one of my pet peeves is people who go to restaurants and then they want to make major modifications to their food order. You know, like what inspired that was the couple sitting a couple tables away before you got there, Iggy. The guy was like, I want to add two more eggs to my order and I want to take some of the spice out of there. I don't want it quite so spicy. And I'm like, geez, you know, just go back and fix it yourself, you know?
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay, you know, I know that's the people have a right to do that and, you know, they're paying for it and maybe. But I got all these responses when I posted that, like, well, you know, I've got food issues and major, you know, I have to make major modifications with things that I eat, or, you know, it's how I express myself through, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, I'm posting a silly little thing. I want to be a human being for a couple of minutes, okay, and just say that this is what my pet peeve is, but all right, okay, I guess I'm not up there with you, so okay. I don't know. I love everybody out there. It's just sometimes we just need to take ourselves down to where to be human again, you know. And it's okay to say the F word or, you know, get irritated at something or have an opinion about something and not expect to be beaten over the head with love by all these people who think that they want to bring you back up to your ascended throne or whatever. We're here. We're struggling with it. We're working with it. We're coping with being human, and we got to have some fun with it too, you know. We got to just let ourselves out, you know. It's I don't know, we tend to get that way in this metaphysical community. We get kind of this kind of ascension syndrome where we think we can't be that way and maintain the vibe that we have, you know. It's just, I don't know,
or
I'm
the
just ranting and raving
to
now.
Your source.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I know. I was working in the restaurant business for years. Even when I used to own Jack and Benny's, I told you the story, right? Somebody ordered avocado omelet.
Oh.
And they said, can you not put avocado in it? I'm thinking, what? Are you just messing with me? But then somebody posted that they did that one time. I'm thinking,
the avocado omelet without the avocado.
Why don't you just order a cheese omelet, you know, or something? And I'm like, okay, it was you.
An omelet with no eggs.
Yeah, you know, and another example is that picture you posted of you holding the can of Coke.
Oh,
yeah. I just put a big LOL on that one.
You know, people who know you don't drink soda anyway, but that just triggered a lot of people to go like, well, don't you know that's full of sugar and that they have Coca-Cola death squads down in, you know, Central America? That I'm like, really? Wow.
Yeah, let's get David Diamondheart to do some research on that because he's pretty good at that. And find out if Coca-Cola is actually sponsoring death squads in Central America, like some guy told me.
And while you're at it, let's check out Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
Sinister, I think.
No, he's like, why are you advertising Coca-Cola? I said, you don't understand the picture. I said, you're reading more into the picture than what it really is. There's a joke behind it, but you don't know the joke because you weren't there. But the people who were there know what I was doing. So, you know, I'm like, I'm advertising Coke. Give me a break, okay?
Yeah.
And then David, I'm pulling out today. And David pulls back around. I'm like, what's the matter? David has this big cheesy grin on his face. He's like, you can see in the picture.
Yeah.
He's like, look, there's a Coca-Cola truck over there. I'm like, yeah.
Let's
take a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard, man. I was like, oh, David. Got my back, man. So he posted for the picture.
Yeah, you know, I think I need to dethrone myself sometimes too in people's minds, because they always expect these kind of like deep philosophical things out of me, and sometimes I don't feel like giving deep philosophical things. I feel like just giving my, you know, my one little shot there or whatever, you know, just kind of making a little human observation, a little joke or something, and you know, I don't want to get stuck, you know. It's like you're almost afraid to post some things on your own page because the way people are going to react and stuff. It's like, you shouldn't have to feel like that, but you do.
You want to test it? I'm going to put, I'm voting for Trump right now.
Hey, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because I want to segue into something else about that. But yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Segue in.
Okay. Well, you know, I was thinking about.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay.
You know, how many of us could really say, you know, I love Donald Trump as a human being. You know, I wish him the best. I thought of the Buddhist loving kindness prayer, where, you know, may no harm come to you. Mm-hmm. May you be happy and peaceful. Can you say, may no harm come to Donald Trump? May he be happy and peaceful. May he always be protected. You know, those kind of things. Can you make those statements? Because there's so much energy and emotion around all these candidates right now. There's so much people putting all their fears and all their hopes and all their disappointments and all their energies just around those people right now. And they're just human beings, you know. They're if they're feeling it, you know, they probably don't know what to do with all that. But can we mm-hmm. say, as spiritual people who love everyone, supposed to be unconditionally, and want to mm-hmm. see the best for everyone, can we really say, you know what, I hope Donald Trump is okay. I hope he's doing well. I hope he, you know, may he be protected and safe. You know, even if you don't like Donald Trump, we're called upon to love our enemies, you know, mm-hmm. so that, because hating our enemies is the same thing that gets us into these situations we've been in for thousands of years. So if we're to truly be world changers, we need to change the way that we project to people, you know, the way we think about them, the energy that we send them, the thoughts that we send them. You know, if we really believe that energy is a thing that affects the world, let's start sending love to everybody. Let's send love to Kim Jong-il. Let's send love to Vladimir Putin. Let's send love to Hillary Clinton. Let's send love to Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump and the guy, you know, the president of Mexico mm-hmm. and wherever else we need to send it to, you know. Are we strong mm-hmm. enough to do that? I don't know, but that's the challenge I set forth.
Right on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm about to post it. Just do a little test. So this is what I'm voting for Trump. May no harm come to him or Hillary Clinton. May they find peace in their hearts.
Yeah, I'll give
and
you
whoever,
about 2 seconds before somebody jumps in on that.
Whoever wins this election, may God guide you in the proper directions.
Now that's the truth.
Well, that's a good,
wins,
that's,
I pray yep. that they are guided by what, you know, the good for the people, not for money or corporations.
Mm-hmm. And while we've got Damon Diamondheart out there, I wanted to say that I was thinking of him earlier, and he had posted these things for a while. It's been a few years, but he had a picture of, let's say, Vladimir Putin, and then a little thought bubble, and then the thought bubble was Buddha, you know. And he was saying, you know, what if we started imagining all of our leaders to be enlightened, you know? What if a million of us got together and got on that same vibration? And what if one day Vladimir Putin woke up enlightened, or, you know, whoever's in the White House, Barack Obama, or, you know, what if they woke up enlightened? We could change our leadership by just changing the way we think about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
it very easily could happen.
Absolutely.
Right moment in time and the right messenger or message, you know, around the person, then it definitely could happen. Anything's possible.
That is right.
Posting.
That's right.
All right.
Countdown.
I bet you I have 10 posts by the end of the show.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Wow.
No, but you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you're right, David. You have to send the right vibration. The problem is when you send more negative and more against, you get more of that. That's what people don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're getting more and more of this stuff because that's where their energy is going. You know, I don't like Trump. Blah, blah, blah. So you're getting more of Trump. You're getting more of Trump. You're getting more of Hillary. You're getting more of Hillary. I'm just as guilty as the next guy, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, what is it? What you resist persists, you know? Mm-hmm. So everybody's got it backwards, you know? If you don't want Trump, you know, you should love him, you know? And maybe he'll go away. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying that's how it works, but I'm not sure how it all works, truly works. But either way, regardless, I know if you protest war, you're just really saying you're just embracing more war. But if you you know, if you have a march for peace, then you know you're gonna get peace. You know, even in yourself, if not for the world.
I believe that.
Yeah.
But these are strange times, you know, and we have strange reactions to things, you know, and everyone seems to be really very emotional right now, very triggered. You know, anything that comes along is they jump on it, you know. So it's part of the times we live in, and part of what we're going through as a world right now is seeing all of the problems coming to the surface, you know. So we may have been kind of insulated from these things, all this racism and all the all the overt corporation sponsorships and the fact that we, you know, we kind of live in a rigged system. We're kind of under the surface, you know, but the anesthesia is wearing off now, and we're starting to feel the pain, and we're starting to come awake, you know, and we're not happy about it. We're grumpy. So, you know, but this is not the time to steer off course. This is the time to stay the course and to even amplify it more by putting out the right kinds of thoughts, feelings, words, actions to keep going, you know. You don't get cured or of an illness by not taking your medicine, even when it doesn't taste good.
Well, I got my first tear on Facebook, so
they've lost you. You've gone over to the dark side.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to vote for him, but I want to see how people respond to something. I mean, you shouldn't really, it shouldn't really be that important why I would want to vote for someone like that. You know, maybe I see the goodness and the potential in the person, you know?
Yeah.
I still don't know who I'm voting for, but I like to throw things into Facebook like that because I like people get, you know, talking and getting them to go. And, you know, I like to instigate too, I think a little part of me does. You like to get like to stir the pot a little bit, but
right,
you know. But I mean, don't panic. The world won't end because Trump becomes president, or the world won't end if Hillary becomes president. It's just what it is. Everybody throws you 100 million things. Oh yeah, he did this, he did that. I mean, you know, I can throw you a list of everybody's got stuff. You know.
Nobody's perfectly snow white.
That's right.
You know, and I know there's disappointed Bernie Sanders people out there. They're walking away from the Democratic Party and going to vote independent or not at all or whatever. But, you know, that's the way it is. You know, sometimes we need to have our eyes open to the system and see that, you know, change doesn't happen unless there is an interaction and an intermixing of people's energies and directions and things. You know, if we as an American people would just stand up and say with one voice that this is what we want, you know, what could they say? You know, just forget you, you know, and then that the whole charade would be over. But we have to be a little more clear about what we want too, you know. I think some people just want to watch a show. It's almost like, you know, we're going to have the Hillary and Trump show here pretty soon. And, you know, we're going to just kind of eat our popcorn and watch it unfold. And you know, then we'll go to the voting booth and still not really know who we're voting for. But politics is like that, you know. You can do things with politics and within politics, but it's always going to have its limitations, you know. It's always going to have its back and forth, or, you know, you're going to feel frustrated because, you know, you try to push something through and it doesn't work. But good can happen too. You know, I'm not putting politics down because it's a fact of life. It's the way we make things work in this country, or not work, but it's how we come together and try to work on issues that we have. But I'm not completely against it, but I really do feel like we as the people need to get our act together too and decide what's important for us. Maybe that's happening now with a lot of these protests.
Maybe. Yeah. But let me ask you both a question. Okay, so you have these political parties, okay? And there's two major parties. I guess that's what they call them, major parties, and then there's third parties or whatever. And, it's I don't understand. I mean, this happens all over the world, not just here, but it's like once something's decided, everybody just kind of goes along with the program. It's like, for me, those kind of issues are kind of scary to me when everybody just kind of goes along. Oh yeah, we gotta endorse her now. We gotta endorse him now. You know,
right.
It's kind of like, you know, the only person that I'm gonna say who had some cojones to say anything, and I didn't like the guy, okay, but he had some cojones, you know. Regardless, is what is that guy's name? Cruz, you know, and he didn't endorse Trump. And you know, the reason I say this is because, you know, it wasn't that he was standing up to a party or Trump or anything. He was standing up to his ideals, regardless if it's political suicide, like people said. What was interesting was he said, I'm not going to support somebody who talks bad about my wife, talks bad about my family, and, you know, and just, and everybody thinks it's okay. You know, and I said, you know, I was never really, you know, moved by his speech, but when he said that after the speech, why he didn't do that, I kind of figured that's what it was. And I said, you know what? It doesn't make him better or good, but you know what? At least he stood up and said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to support you. And after you treated the way you treated me and my family, you think there's more to politics. You know, I have to live with my wife.
Yeah.
I have to live with my family, you know, and they've come before politics. They come before you. And so when I heard that, I was like, that's good. I'm glad that he did that. I'm glad, you know, that he stood up and did what he did. And I would have liked to see Bernie Sanders say, hey, you know what? I'd rather go down burning in flames and losing whatever I have, but I am not going to endorse Hillary Clinton after all the things that I said about her during the campaign. You know, Ted Cruz, actually for me, which I have no alignment with him. I don't have anything. We're not even in the same room, politically speaking, but I have more respect for Ted Cruz for standing up for his family values and what he thought about how important his family was. And for me, that was huge. And when Bernie Sanders, for me, you know, he had to do, I guess, what he had to do for Bernie Sanders. But, you know, there's a difference there. There's a difference there. You know, I would probably do what Ted Cruz would have done. I wouldn't have endorsed Hillary Clinton. I would say, hey, you know what? I stand by my guns, and I stand by this. And if I don't get the delegates or whatever, or the Senate majority, whatever, too bad, because I'm going to stand by what I said. And I'm not going to change what I said. And then everybody tries to give me these excuses and these reasons. And I'm like, you know, the only person who, in my opinion, my true opinion, Ted Cruz is the only person that stood by his own morals and his own grounds. And I'm not a Ted Cruz fan.
No, but I think you've got a point. I think that's right, that somebody finally said, you know, but party doesn't matter as much as my family and doing the right thing in my own eyes, you know. And you don't see that very much in the political arena, you know, that kind of honesty, that kind of commitment to their own family values and things like that. So, yeah, bravo for him.
Yeah, that's where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him hell. They gave him hell about it. But you know what? That's okay. He can sleep at night. You know, that guy can sleep at night. I know he can sleep at night. He can go, you know what? I can sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And let's see, there were a couple other people who didn't really come up. Kasich didn't endorse him. He didn't even show up at the Republican convention. So
I mean, and that's good. I mean, to be honest with you, that's politics. That's standing up for what you believe for. You know, and they should do that. If they don't agree with Trump, they should do this stuff. You know, it should never have to be. You should never have to have that. I'm all in attitude. I'm going to vote straight down the card, you know, because a lot of people do that, and that's okay. But I don't know if that always works. I don't know if that's always a good idea. And I mean, it should be about the candidate, you know, what the candidate stands for, what they represent, you know, why they're there. That's the problem, is we put too much emphasis on all these party affiliations and all these party. I'm with the Republicans. I'm with the. If everybody just ran on their own laurels and morals and stuff, you know, and just ran by who they were and their ethics and the things they've done, it would be a big different game. You would have to go stomp and work and get people to sponsor you and stuff like that. But we put too much stuff in these corporate parties. They're just little corporations, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the super delegates and the people who make the final decision, you know, it makes it feel like, you know, you don't really have that much of a voice in it. Why did we even have a primary if they're going to come in with these super delegates and say, no, this is our person, or it's I don't get it.
Yeah. It's politics. I don't make this stuff up. It's rigged.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already been proven that it's rigged. It was so proven right front of our faces. I mean, like, someone just like could have smacked me 5 times in the face and said, it's right there. But everybody acts like, oh, well, we just look over here. Oh, look at the little white pony over here. Look at him. Oh, he's so cute. Look at him. Oh, he's prancing. But that's what it feels like. I'm like, are you guys really looking at the white pony when there's this huge elephant over here? Hello? Hello? Hey. But, you know, that makes me more nervous and scared than Donald Trump supporters. Honestly, truthfully, seriously.
Yes, I agree. It's the fact that we're so easily distracted and manipulated by the system as it is, you know. So we have to be more involved, more aware, and more responsible citizens of our country if we want better leaders.
Yeah.
That's right.
We only get better leaders if we demand better leaders. We don't demand better leaders. We should demand better leadership. You know, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton are not better leaders. We should demand that we have that. And for us to settle and just go and vote by emotion is not, and trying to make somebody the first female president, that's not voting. That's not voting, in my mind, and this is my own opinion, that's not the right reasons you vote for. That's like, say, I'm voting for Obama because he's a black guy. I'm going to make him the first black, or I'm going to make him the first mixed person, you know? But he wouldn't be the first mixed person. He's just the first half white, half black, president, you know? People forget about his white side, and they only focus on his black side. But he's both, you know? But we forget about that because, you know, we always present the part that is more dominant to us, and the part that's seen. Obama, he looks black, so he gets more friction from being black.
Right.
And you can't tell me that's not true. Because Obama could play the white card as much as he could play the black card. Because he's half black. His mother's white. Well, his mom is white as Snow White. His brother, is very, I don't know.
Yeah, I caught his speech at the DNC convention, and he mentioned his grandparents who were in Iowa, you know, and their values and things like that. So he can go either way, you know. He can grab onto whatever direction he wants to go. So, everyone's got their cards to play, you know, and the thing about Trump is he's a wild card. You never know what he's going to do or what he's going to say or how he's going to react to things. It's funny when I think about that. I watched that video that you sent me about, it was from crack.com, and it was like about, this all started out as some comedy team's joke. You know, they got Trump involved in a fake campaign he said, it's not going to last more than a couple months. Come on, we'll be a big joke whenever everybody figures it out, or he, you know, and they kept trying to help him shoot himself in the foot so he wouldn't keep going, you know, but every time he did, the TV just got more popular until finally he's like sobbing on the phone, like, I don't want to be president. I don't want to be president.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But who's to say that that's not close to the truth, you know, that he maybe got involved in this to make just another kind of statement, like a reality TV show or something. And now he finds himself like legitimately maybe becoming president. that's going to change his life so much. You know, I think he realizes that he's going to be so much under the public eye, so much under the Congress, and it's going to completely change his life, you know, and not for the better in some ways, I don't think. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back. Okay, guys? Sounds good?
Sounds good.
All right.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Listening to WithInsightsRadio.com with your host Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, and Adriana Arts. We are broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in several universes. And we're just kind of talking stuff. We're just kind of shooting things. And, you know, don't take us too serious because we're just like you. We're like everybody else. We ponder things. It's pondering. You know, it's the idea of thinking, what if this was? We have to kind of be prepared for both realities, if you think about it, a reality with Donald Trump and a reality with Hillary Clinton, you know, because in the reality of things, the third party, I don't really think is going to win for a very long time in this country. People are moving that way, but those are realities that we have to face and we have to accept. We can change the topic now. And Adriana, anything you want to talk about?
Oh, I've had enough of politics.
Yes.
But you know me. I will not post political posts, and I rarely like or comment on them. Every now and then I might like something, but I just kind of stay away from it. That's not where I want to focus my energy. Said earlier, we could do a lot more just praying for the person that steps into the shoes, you know, in the big house. Just praying that they are guided and that they're not, you know, so all controlled by greed and money and everyone else's agenda. You know, I just pray that whoever gets in there has the people, you know, our interests at heart. Somebody better have the people's interests at heart, because you won't even have to worry about an election. They'll be worrying about a revolution. A war.
Amen to that.
So, and that's what I'm praying for. I'd rather, I can't follow the hate and the racist stuff at all. That doesn't have any place in my life or in my heart. I'm around people that are very outspoken, very opinionated politically, and it's tough. It's tough for me, you know, to let someone express their opinion when it's nothing like what I would agree with. But I just, you know, will sit and look and maybe shake my head, and and that's about it. And then, you know, when they're done speaking, walk away. So I don't indulge at all. I'm not going to feed it. I'm not going to feed that energy, because you're right, that's all it does. You know,
so much anger and hatred, you know.
Well, there is, and
that's what blows my mind.
Well, that's what I have felt. That's been so overwhelming. I can hardly watch the news I definitely cannot watch the debate. I mean, none of that.
The next one's
going to
be fun, though.
It. Yeah. All bad.
Crooked. What's he called? Crooked Hillary? Is that what he calls her?
Yeah.
Man.
It's, you know, I like to use, since we're in the political season, I like to use it as a litmus test for our community and for our for the metaphysical point of view, you know, and see where do people draw the line, you know, when we talk about, mm-hmm. you know, ascension and you know, we're going to rise above all of this negativity. And then when it comes to political, you know, debates, people just fall right back into their, you know, action and reaction and, you know, just let all that out. It's like they almost forgot that they're spiritual people, you know? So
yeah.
It kind of helps me keep things in perspective and go, we need to apply these values all the time. You know, it's not just whenever we agree with somebody that we're going to be all lovey-dovey and everything. We need to get into the trenches where, you know, where it's ugly and sometimes difficult to love somebody. And she'll try to show them the same kind of love, you know, and still kind of try to at least be a voice for peace and you know, keeping together and, you know, being one human race rather than being divided up in all these different sections. I swear for the past year, it's like for the past year and a half, we've been like that. And and I miss those times when we were a lot closer to that, you know, but we have to pass through this, I think, to get to where we need to be next. And it's our journey and it defines us a little bit too. And we define it by being involved in it. Or not, you know, however we want to approach that. But I understand people who just want to just stay out of it, and that's fine, you know.
Sure.
For me, it's a reality that's, you know, that's outside my door and on my television set or whatever, the Facebook page. It's it's always there, you know. So I think it's there. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's there. I just don't – I choose not to – dedicate my time watching it, listening to it, and getting upset, or, you know, the negativity that being around any of that or watching it or seeing it on Facebook or anything, the negativity that it brings into my spirit, it's just too overwhelming. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I choose not to do that in my world.
No,
you know,
that's absolutely
right. I'm going to go vote, you know. I could not tell you at this moment who it would be for. I will not know until I step up to that little machine, you know. But I'm liable, you know, to I don't know. If I can tell you one thing, it won't be one-sided all the way down. And it's not going to be a vote just because somebody's a woman. That's not going to be why I will vote at all. It's going to be more about what issues and what they're bringing and what they say they're going to do for us. But the truth of what I have in my years upon this earth as an adult and watching what anybody that's been in those shoes do for the people and what they had, you know, with our interests at heart, I don't think any of them's ever worked for the people. I've always seen them work for the corporations and the businesses. So if you own a business, good for you. Your government's probably working for you somehow with your taxes, you know, your tax cuts and everything. But when you're a middle-class person working your ass off every day, they're not doing too much for you. And I don't care who's in those shoes, whether it's a black, a white, a Chinese. It doesn't matter who's in those shoes. They're not working for this class of people, and this is the class of people that built this place. These
are
the
amen to
that. The factory.
Yeah.
You know, we're the people that actually built this whole country to make it what it is, and I haven't seen anybody in the past 20 years do a damn thing for us, except rapists. And that's just my political opinion. You guys took me there. That's why I don't do politics.
Well, David Diamondheart made David Diamondheart on the chat says, "What does it even mean to self-identify or label others as spiritual person?" That was a good question.
That's a good question. Yeah. You know, I guess it's where you feel like you come from mainly, you know. I mean, there's mm-hmm. people who are very much into the materialistic things of every day, you know. They only believe in what they can sense with their five senses, what they can put their hands on, you know, and what they can put in their bank account, you know, and that's fine. That's mm-hmm. fine. That's fine for them. I've never really identified with that life. I've always found it to be too limiting in my own mind and my own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I've gone the opposite direction and I haven't tended to all the things that need to take care of, you know, day-to-day business and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. I've been so thinking about other things, experiencing other ways of defining reality and everything. So, but spiritual people define themselves in different ways too. You know, you can go to church every Sunday and believe in the Bible and be a spiritual person, but for another person, that's way too confining and way too normal, you know, for them to approach their spirituality like that. You know, they don't find their own definition in a religion. It's in their own spiritual seeking, their own wanting to know what this reality really is and mm-hmm. or what it isn't, and how can I experience that or understand that or even approach that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess that's my answer to that question, is what is a spiritual person? But there's a million ways of answering it as well. So throw it out to you guys and see what you think.
Well, for me personally, somebody who spirituality is as unique as individual as the person, you know, it's something that's your own, you know. For somebody to say that you're not spiritual, or somebody say that you're not enlightened or you're awakened, that's really unfair. And that's really shaming, you know, because everybody has their own version of what that looks like, how they experience spirituality, how they experience spirit, how they experience, you know, freak one of this show, you know. A lot of people are going to go away from this show listening, oh, Iggy must be a Trump follower. No, I'm not a Trump follower. But people will take what they want out of things when they hear, kind of like when we were talking about the post you did, David, about people changing the menu items, you know, and changing, you know, the things. But we do that all the time. We're such a judgmental race. You know, we judge. That's just what we do. And, you know, it's, mm-hmm. some of it's very natural and some of it is learned. But, you know, the thing is, that's the problem. You know, spirituality is a very unique thing. Very unique to that mm-hmm. person, to that one. Then you start to find people who are similar in your beliefs. Even everybody who believes the same thing doesn't necessarily believe everything about it. And this is me projecting, okay? Of course, I'm projecting what I'm saying. But I've found, you know, that even in churches, people don't necessarily agree with everything that they're listening to. Mm-hmm. Because you're filtering it. You're going to filter that stuff through your mind and through your experiences. Jesus says turn, or the Bible says turn the other cheek, you know, so they can punch that one. Well, how many times you hear people say, they punch me, I'm going to punch them back, you know, blah, blah, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to church on Sunday. You know, so it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think we put too much emphasis sometimes on religious structure. It's a beautiful thing. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's really beautiful, but it's not for everybody. And I don't believe that it's necessarily the way but some people need that structure. Some people need that, you know, the pew. Someone needs someone preaching to them. Someone needs the group, you know, to be in a group of people who believe like-minded in ways. And we do it. We have our own church. You know, yesterday our church was drumming. Our church was hanging out together. Mm-hmm. Our church was, you know, singing our songs, playing our beats. That's our church. But people don't see it the same way we do. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they see it. It's how I see it. It's how you see it. It's what's in my heart and what I share. That's important to me.
Right on.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'd say for me, I agree with both of you in what you've both said on that subject. Spirituality, and it's taken me a long time to get to where I am with mine. But, you know, I was raised in organized, you know, religion, Christianity, basically. And I have very deep roots in Christianity and the Bible. that I read my Bible still. I mean, there's a lot of, when I communicate with my higher source to me is God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my spiritual belief. I have a lot of friends now who have, their God doesn't look like mine, nor does it have the same name as mine. It might, their God might be a goddess, you know, God and goddess, whatever. I don't separate any of us in my spirituality. Churches, for me, what I had a problem with as an adult, when I'd moved back out here, I was in my 20s. I went through where I wanted to find, you know, a church. I went to a few different denominations just to try them out. And every time I walked into a church, by the time I walked out from the service, I was like, nope, I don't think I'm ever going back to this one, because it felt like all the preacher or the pastor that was up there was doing was asking people for all of their money to help build this church and make it better. And don't get me wrong, I understand that
mm-hmm.
you have to build to make your foundation. But when I'm sitting in a church that probably cost about $500,000 to build, and you're going to tell me you need more, I have a problem with that. But they basically felt like a business to me as an adult. For me, when you're in a church, you're also listening to someone else's interpretation of the Bible. And that's something that I don't agree with either. Now that
mm-hmm.
in my spirituality, I was raised to agree with that, but as an adult, no, I don't agree with that at all. Your version of the Bible is probably going to be completely different than what I take from the Bible. So my spirituality is based on what I take from the tools that I use for my spirituality. And I'm not limited to just the Bible. I sage. I have crystals.
Mm-hmm.
I have stones. I dance. I express my spirituality in a lot of different ways, and ways that would be frowned upon by strictly Christian, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
Some in my family, you know. But I tell you, it's been a learning experience for me to accept my own spirituality first. This is what resonates with me, and this is what feels good. This is where I feel good in my heart, and I don't feel like I am this belief or this path is hurting anyone. It is
mm-hmm.
what is inside that person's heart that makes their spirituality. It isn't listening in what someone else is preaching. You know, there's a lot of people I know right now. I see a lot of posts that are just, it's kind of interesting because they can be bashing someone or calling someone out on a post, and then at the very end of this post say, but God has my back.
Yeah.
I'll pray for everybody. But, you know, you're going to back somebody in the beginning, and then you're going to say, God loves you and he's got your back, and that's okay. Was it okay for you to bash that person, you know? That's the kind of stuff that doesn't resonate with me, with people that call themselves higher ascended or spiritual that way. I have a problem with that. That to me is hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't have any room for that either. So I'm pretty
mm-hmm.
straight
yes.
up with my opinions, as you guys at least know. I'm pretty straight up about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make me a bad person? Sure, I cuss every now and then when I get angry. Yes, I do. You know, some days that happens. I have that temper. But
I've experienced that.
Well, not directly.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been there.
Yeah, you've
mm-hmm.
been around me, especially when I'm hungry. But, you know. Am I intentionally, you know, am I doing, getting angry and cursing every day? No. you know. And there's a lot of times when, like, I'm, here's a little example. I'm driving to work, and I used to really struggle with road rage many years ago. I still have some issues here in the big city.
That's you. That was you.
But I have to say, you know, you're at a red light or whatever, and then the light turns green, and then the person in the next lane just barely misses your car and cuts right in front of you, you know, and, you know, that one of the, sometimes the first impulse for me is, you idiot, get off the road, you know, and as soon as that thought happens, I tell myself, that's not right, you can't say that. And then I pray for that person. God, please don't let them hit somebody. I'm sorry. You know I'm not supposed to be this way. I handle it myself there. You know, I kind of correct myself, or
mm-hmm.
or my higher source is correcting me. But, you know, it's all from what's within your heart. It is where your spirituality is. So, I see a lot of posts from straight Christians that flat out just make a lot of white racist remarks, you know. They would not ever consider helping refugees or anything. And it's like, do you guys really think when Jesus was traveling all the lands and when he sent out all of his disciples into the foreign lands to preach the word, do you really think those disciples were bashing them and not helping to feed them and not trying to help them find a better way? I didn't take the Bible that way, you know? It just amazes me sometimes.
The terrorists.
I know. And it's like, my gosh, you know, you have the good and bad in every group, and that's why it's, for me, it's just extremely important right now to pray for everybody in the world, whether it's
mm-hmm.
Russia, whether it's China, whether it's North Korea, whether it's Syria. Every part of this world is in danger and turmoil,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, us included. And actually think about the earth, this world that we're all in. You think about the earth, because she's getting abused and used and sold, politically sold. You know, they're mining gold and drilling and everything else in all over the place. And that's all
right.
Political. You know, so somebody think about her, because without her, none of us live.
Yes.
And for me, that's my church. The church is
right.
outside. It's out on this earth. It's that sky. It's the trees. It's the
mm-hmm.
ground I'm walking on. That is my church. I don't go Sundays, you know, into the big building. Every now and then I get a calling and I kind of want to go to a church just to hear and see and feel, you know, feel that again, because that's
right.
the way, that's what's in my roots, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But my church, you know, it's out in nature as much as possible. It's giving thanks for, you know, my tomato plants that are out in the yard and the flowers that I planted that came up. And it's
mm-hmm.
Giving thanks for the water that I have running, you know, through the pipes, and that I can take a bath and you know, wash dishes. And that's my spirituality. It all goes to the earth and gratitude and
mm-hmm.
trying to love my neighbors. I mean, I haven't had the best neighbors where I am, but you know what? I'd help them in a minute, and we are on a talking basis now. I mean, we've had some hurdles. We've got through it. I made it a point to get through it. And there's a language barrier here, big time.
They just think you're a white witch. The white blonde witch. La bruja! Oh, my gosh, she's with her sage stick again.
When they see me out there with a flaming sage stick, yes, they do, and a big feather.
Yeah.
But, you know, you make your life and you make your spirituality So.
Well, can I share the song that you wrote that I helped you put together?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's okay. I'm going to share a song that Adriana that she wrote. I'll let you do the background, but I'm going to let everybody know we're going to play it here in a minute after Adriana kind of explains to us why she wrote it and what was going on in her mind, why she was processing, and what was happening, and then how it all came together. Okay, take it away.
Well, it was after the shootings down in Orlando, and then there were, I want to say, there were so many that happened and things that were spurred after that, right before that and after that. And it was like every time I turned on the TV, on the news, all you saw was riots, you know, protests that go violent. It was Black Lives Matter and Gay Lives Matter. And, you know, you never saw anything, I didn't hardly, that ever said All Lives Matter. But, you know, there were people that were shot, all the police officers that were shot, you know, senseless shootings and just senseless violence. You go out of your driveway and go to work and you see homeless people begging for money on the corners every day. And it was just really overwhelming for me one day. So I started writing, and it was just something that came to me. And so I was not expecting it to become a song. And maybe you can tell your part.
Well, you know, I've written the songs, you know, from the heart, kind of like Adriana wrote this song. And you kind of asked me to listen to it and look at it. You go, here's a song. This is something I wrote. Let me make a song out of it. And something, okay. So I'm looking at the lyrics. And so I start playing some beats, and I was putting some tracks together and trying to see what would fit with it. And I was thinking it wasn't something fast, something slow. It had to be something that just kind of got the message across. And just, so I think what we put together works pretty good. David and I have had projects where we worked on things together. And, you know, we have a little album there on SoundCloud. If you look up E. Garcia 1, you can find the tracks up there and download them and listen to them for now until we make our album official. So basically what I'm saying, they're free for now. So I'm going to play this clip. So it's about 5 minutes long. And if you guys who are listening hang up, I won't take it personal. But here we go. And then we'll come right back after the clip, okay? I hope it's the right one. Hope it's not that other one. Okay.
Share what they want us to read. every day, give thanks, feel love. Change will happen here and above. Show love and kindness.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. With Insights Radio, I'm Iggy Garcia, Adriana Arts, and David Tucros are with me today, and hopefully you enjoyed our song. That's kind of our little rough draft song that we put together, and it's kind of what was rolling around in Adriana's head. I think she actually would have a much better voice than Iggy if she sang it, but that's okay. She has faith in me, so I'll go with that.
No, I thought that was great. That was an amazing song. I think that was like a message just channeled right from spirit through our good friend Adriana, and to for all of us to take a listen to. You know, we really life is just a brief experience for us while we're here. You know, and we can get caught up in all of this, the things going on around us and within us. You know, and distracted and disturbed, and you know, just feel like a leaf in the wind sometimes because you feel so out of control of what's going on around you. And in many ways we aren't in control, you know, but we can always be in control of ourselves and our center and where we're coming from. You know, that's something we can always get back to. And songs like that help remind us where we need to be, you know, what relationship we need to have in our hearts with spirit. And that's very important. And like we talk about the attitude of gratitude, you know, being thankful to wake up at all, first of all, and then, you know, to have the things we have in our lives, you know, it may not be much, you know, but we don't sit around and compare ourselves to people who have more and feel inadequate. We know that we have what we need and we are always provided for and taken care of in our own way, either through spirit or through people acting out of their own good hearts and No, that's mm-hmm. that's where we really should be, you know. And that's what I'm reminded of when I hear that song.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm glad.
Truly.
That's
truly, you know.
Now, this next song that I want to play, okay, since we're going to go through the song chart here. David, we'll finish with your song. We'll finish with your spoken word. This
okay.
next song
right.
that I wrote, mm-hmm. okay, is about the friendships that I have between you, me, Mark, and Mary, and us, and a few other people that I mentioned in there. But you know, these are things that are, you know, close to my heart about the things who we are as a group and the things we do together. And I worked on this song really hard because I must have rewritten it so many times and just had to get it right. And it's still more to work on. But I want to share this one. It's called Run Away With Me. It's about, and kind of, you know, David, you ran away. And Adriana, last week you ran away with me. And then David ran away with me today.
Yeah, I'm a famous runaway.
So, yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny, you know. We all come from different backgrounds and we have different jobs, but you know, I'm kind of a, hey, let's run away guy in the group. So, but I'm a bad influence to you guys.
Oh, no.
Nope.
So this is a song.
We're all kind of,
yep. This is a song a tribute song to my good friends, to my best friends. So here we go. I'm going to play this one, okay?
In life.
are listening to withinsightsradio.com with your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, and Adriana Arts. Now back to the show.
So that's a song that I wrote for you guys.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You guys are important to me. I mean, you guys are a big part of my life, and, you know, I don't know how no one knows how long they have on this planet at any given moment, mm-hmm. when our last breath will be. So I cherish those moments, and, you know, there's a lot of things I could be worrying about and thinking about, and but when I'm with you guys hanging out, you know, it's like that goes away, and mm-hmm. I would hope, and I hope that people out there can find little groups and friends like that, because it's a lot of fun to share moments like that, and sometimes your immediate family doesn't offer that kind of feeling. And sometimes you're fortunate that you do have that with your immediate family, but I find that a lot of people don't. Don't have that immediate connection with their families, like, you know, the little group that we pow around with.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, if it's true that your life flashes before your eyes when you're on your deathbed, when you're dying, then I want it to slow down a little bit at some of the days that we've had, because those are perfect days, and I want to live every moment of those over again. But I have such cherished memories of the times we've had together and the fun we've had and the important work we've done too, the spiritual things that we've done as well. Just a kaleidoscope of wonderful memories that I cherish, like precious jewels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, and the good thing is that, you know, we're going to have more of them too. And I look forward to every one of those, you know. It's good. It's great.
Well, tell everybody about the geocaching we were talking about today.
Oh, you know, I was just thinking about that too. Yeah, we were talking a little bit about, if you don't know, we're making a time capsule. So we were talking about the time capsule and you came up with geocaching, you know, or maybe we leave like two or three mini capsules that people find, you know, that it's like a kind of like a scavenger hunt or something, you know, find this capsule and then do this and then go to the next capsule and do that, you know. So we were thinking maybe like the first one people open up, it's like, okay, now you have to go to Ash Cave and have a drum circle, you know, 150 years in the future or whatever, you know. So and then the next one, you know, maybe you need to go someplace and do some of the other things we've done or whatever. Or just kind of touching base with our lives, kind of getting a feel of what it was like to kind of walk in our shoes a little bit, you know. So we thought that might be kind of fun to do, get them involved, you know. And
yeah.
Make it like
that. Yeah, like a treasure hunt. Like Iggy said, you know, first we make it for like a year that our family can do it, and if they don't want to do it, then it's open to anybody to come and follow our footsteps, you know. But it's exciting to think about the what could happen, you know, that we could 150 years from now we could be the source of someone else's inspiration, or they're going out and doing it doing it in their way, what we used to do. So it's fun to think about and kind of plant those seeds out there to be remembered and to be walked in again. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You know, it's funny. People go through life, and they're so busy living, they forget to live, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for us to build this time capsule together, you know, as we're working on this project, I find that fascinating that, you know, we're all going to put different things in the time capsule. We're going to put, like, I'm putting like a strand of my, like, my ponytail is going to go in there from the, when I cut my hair was like, yeah, yeah. And, you know, just a whole bunch of other things. But the cool thing, you know, we talked about maybe the aliens find it and they take the DNA strands out of us and they clone us and bring us back. I'm like, what are we doing? We're in the year 30,000 or whatever, you know. But, you know. Oh, my God, that would be a mess.
Well, is there a drum around here or something? What?
But, you know, our lives are very, very, very important. Everybody's life who's ever lived and whoever's, you know, been on this planet, I mean, nothing is insignificant. I mean, every person who's ever walked this planet has had some kind of contribution. Some are not always positive, But there's always been some contribution, you know, and we all leave our mark somewhere, somehow, with somebody or something. And I guess that's when we have to think about life is about being in a community with others, and it's not always just about us, and that we have to think outside sometimes ourselves, that other people are valuable and important. Sometimes we put so much emphasis that I have to be number one and this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I have to take care of number one because nobody else will take care of me. Yeah, that's a true story. I get that. But what I'm saying is, you know, honor people, respect people as far as, you know, where they respect you. You know, you have the healthy limits and boundaries with them. You know, there's so many people who want to be loved, people who want to be, you know, embraced and touched and hugged and kissed and, you know, just want to have the human experience. And they don't have that. They don't have that because, you know, sometimes there's so much damage and so much resent and so much anger that they build a wall, you know, and they just keep people away. So when it's time to release that and open up your heart a little bit, you know, do it little by little. You don't have to do it all in one shot. Try it. Give people a chance. Not everybody out there is bad. Not everybody out there is trying to hurt you. Not everybody out there is trying to, you know, steal your money. You know, you have to be kind of just a little bit, just a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. So I know it's getting late. So what I want to do is segue out with what happened here, David Two Crows' spoken word. David, can you tell us a little bit about that before we play it?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I took a week off Facebook and I started reading some poetry books that my family had for years, you know, old stories and poems and things like that. And I kind of got inspired to thinking about writing a poem about what it would be like 200-300 years in the future, some undetermined time in the future, about describing civilization has changed, you know, and it, you would ask yourself, what happened here? You know, how did this happen? What went on with these people? You know, and so I took my mind through, you know, the suburbs and the malls and the cities, and, you know, just kind of keep asking that question, what happened here? You know, and then we got together and made it into a kind of a spoken word poem, and you added some effects and everything, and I really enjoyed the way it turned out. It took a life of its own. It's in my first book, As the Crow Flies, but you, it really has its own life now because of our collaboration with it. So that's where that came from. It's just my mind just kind of wandering in the future and seeing what could be.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Did we lose you, Iggy?
And I said we could segue out with that or come back and talk a little bit about it, or we just kind of fade out into the Wild Wild West with that one.
I'm cool with segueing out with it, but, you know, that because unless I skip work tomorrow, I got to get to bed to go work.
Well, we don't want you to skip work.
It's entirely possible I might, but hey.
We might end up at Ruby Tuesdays tomorrow, right, having salad bar.
Yeah, that's right.
No plug for Ruby
Tuesdays. Don't tempt me. Don't tempt
okay.
me.
So we're going to segue out with David's spoken word. And I just want to say tomorrow at noon, we'll have Iggy Live. That's the show that I'll be doing. It's kind of the part of the Naked Shaman series. So for those of you who want a little more in depth about who I am and the work I do, listen to Iggy Garcia Live at noon on Tuesday. And it should be a lot of fun. So here we go. We're going to say anything you want to finish out, anything you want to say, Adriana, before we segue out.
I will repeat a line of our song, which was, we need to walk as brothers hand in hand. We're all in this together, and we need to stay together.
Awesome. David, anything
Amen
you want
to that.
Okay.
Nope. That's all good.
All right. It's always
Love
a pleasure.
Y'all.
Always a pleasure to be on here with you, too, and sharing those thoughts and those moments. And, you know, aliens will find our show one day in outer space, and they'll create a whole society and civilization around it.
Well, this is All a right. good one to leave out with. So listen to
okay.
the words. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And listen to the words, folks. It's really deep and it's really, really, really important. all the songs we shared today, they mean something to us. And this spoken word you're going to hear means something to David. So, and I hope it means something to you when you listen to it. All right, here we go.
What happened here? These once busy streets, bustling with traffic, filled with drivers on their way to and from their jobs, waiting impatiently at the traffic lights, and then speeding on when those lights finally changed. Now lie buried beneath layers of earth and moss, the cars that were so shiny and new and important to their drivers, long rusted away.
What happened here?
What happened here? In the city square where bands once played and boisterous crowds gathered under the evening sky to listen and to be a part of this pulsing human congregation, all the shouting of vendors and the voices of pedestrians no longer heard. Now a great lake covers this place, and only the splashing of fish and the songs of birds echo through the wild woods surrounding it.
What happened here?
What happened here? Malls that used to display their wares to tempt the eye and seduce the wallet of the passerby, where the latest tech toys and fashions were presented behind glass, so close that you could almost touch, and yet unattainable for many, promises of a better life, if only. Now the glass has long been shattered, the mannequins fallen into broken, naked heaps, their clothes long rotted away, and only mice and birds as customers to wander the ruined interior. What happened here? In the suburbs where the tired commuter longed to come home to rest, an oasis of streets with names like Sunny Lane and Rosewood Avenue, a bright harbor of welcoming porch lights and rows of trees under which couples strolled in the cool evening air, and houses in which parents raised their children and said goodbye as they ventured into the world, the backyards where barbecues and pools and swing sets were the little empires for the middle-class kings and queens, all the laughter and tears and shouting and gentle whispering that made this neighborhood so alive, replaced now with the calls of night owls, the howling of packs of wild dogs who roam these forgotten areas, hunting deer in the yards whose fences long ago returned to the earth. What happened here? You could ask someone if you could find them. Somewhere beyond the outskirts of what was once this city, past the fallen down houses and the skeletons of convenience stores, malls, and restaurants, you may find the answer. There, the light of a fire makes a small circle of flickering illumination, and a small group has gathered to hear another story. Dressed not in jeans and polo shirts, but in animal hides and fur. The children not distracted by iPhones or video games, All eyes tonight are on the storyteller, who weaves with tongue and gesture another tale of the ancestors, the ones who came before and who forgot themselves, who turned away from their mother and believed they were superior to all they saw. A cautionary tale of those who walked the land and thought it was their property, not remembering from whom they came or to whom they would remain. People who put their faith in themselves and their wisdom only to behave like fools. Perhaps now, at last, the lesson will be learned.
Well, thank you for tuning in to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia. Visit our website at withinsightsradio.com so you can see and listen all of our past shows. We hope you enjoyed our show tonight with myself and David Two Crows and Adriana Arts. We're here every Monday. The next Monday show might be a late one too. I'm not sure if David and Adriana will be on with me, but regardless, we'll be on. Tomorrow we'll have Iggy Garcia Live. That's a show on at noon. So hope you can tune in. That's kind of a monthly show. Other than that, I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you soon.